Welcome to Press Any Button. I'm Eric.
And I'm Nikki. And today we're rowing our boat all the way around all the realms. Just rowing our boat.
What's that around your belt, Nikki?
Oh, my head of knowledge? Yeah, that's just a regular old head that knows everything. His name's Mimir.
Oh, wow. What a cool addition to your normal self. Do you just walk around with that everywhere?
Yeah. Maybe you'll find out how I got it, and maybe you won't.
Yes, we're talking about God of War Ragnarok, which is an action-adventure game developed by Santa Monica Studio and published by Sony Interactive Entertainment. It was released worldwide on November 9th, 2022 for both PlayStation 4 and PlayStation 5. It is the ninth installment in the series, the ninth chronologically, and the sequel to 2018's God of War. Loosely based on Norse mythology, the game is set in ancient Scandinavia and features series protagonist Kratos as now a teenage son Atreus. Spoiler warning, we will be talking about the story and ending later in this episode, including some pretty crazy twists.
Oh, yeah.
So, you know, this is definitely a real spoiler warning and not one of those fake ones that we do sometimes.
Yeah, because this game has a lot of story, as you probably would expect.
A lot of story and really good story.
Oh, yeah. All right, you ready to get into it?
Oh, let's get into it, lad.
Oh, thanks, Mimir. Let's go. I got my blades. I got my axe.
Wait, there's
another thing. I got my spear.
What?
Uh-oh, starting right off with spoilers.
That's not a huge spoiler. Yeah, there's another weapon.
Actually, take that back. Don't have my spear yet. Just kidding. Anyways, obviously, we played God of War 2018. We have a whole episode about it, so if you are listening to this and you haven't listened to that episode yet, maybe check it out. But that's where we're going to start the history for this game.
That makes sense. Yeah. Since, you know, we already talked about that game.
Exactly.
We can just build upon it.
And this is the sequel to that game. So obviously, you know, it picks up where that left off.
I'm going to be honest with you. I don't remember a lot of what we talked about. That was a long time ago. That was like, what,
well,
like
go back and listen to the episode.
Is it 9 months, 10 months?
I don't know.
It was a very long time ago. My memory is not great.
Yeah, it's not. But anyways, obviously this game picks up where that one left off. So development, you know, happened after that game. So that's kind of where we're going to start. Because at the end of God of War 2018, you know, they actually teased the sequel. So they kind of already had, like, the basic storyline planned, like, for the whole story arc. And they just divided it up into two. So, like, oh, you know, like, okay, when they wrote the story overall, they were like, they knew they were going to do Norse mythology. You know, they kind of knew where they wanted certain big plot points to happen, and they had the overall arc, like the overall story kind of planned ahead of time.
So you're
right?
Saying they pre-did an outline for the whole thing.
Yeah.
That's good.
Because like, how else are they going to tease the next game at the end of the first game if they don't already know what's going to happen in the second game? So at the end of God of War 2018, you kind of learn that Ragnarok is looming. And there's also a secret ending to the 2018 game that shows a vision of Thor confronting Kratos and Atreus. So you kind of get that little sneak peek. And so this whole time, you know, the game kind of leaves you hanging. It's like a big cliffhanger. It's like, will, you know, Atreus kill Kratos, like, at the end? You know, that's the big cliffhanger, and it's like, oh, my God, I hope not. I don't want that to happen. I mean, I don't know about you, but that would be kind of depressing because I like Atreus.
I mean,
and I like Kratos, and I'm like, I don't want either one of them to die.
Yeah, they really did foreshadow that event happening. I guess it doesn't, well,
Yeah. They definitely wanted to leave you hanging so that you would want to play this second game because you, like, have to find out how it ends, right?
Yeah.
So although nothing was officially announced, clearly the game's director, Corey Barlog, you know, made it very clear that the 2018 game would not be Kratos' last game. So you knew that there was going to be another game early on. Like, it was, that part was not in question. It was just, like, what was going to happen in the second game, you know, is what the big thing was. So the very first teaser for the new game actually came out in April 2019 in the form of a PlayStation 4 dynamic background theme, okay. Which showed the side of Kratos and Atreus's boat that had runes on it, and that the runes translated into Ragnarok is coming. So this is before anyone knew that that was the title. They released that teaser with Ragnarok is coming, but no one knew that was going to be the name of the game yet.
Okay. So was the original name going to be Ragnarok is coming or just Ragnarok?
No. I think originally it was going to be what it is now, but, you know, they were really trying to be subtle, but not so subtle, right? With the teaser.
Yeah.
So it was a big hint to a lot of people that that was probably what it was going to be called. At the same time that that came out to celebrate the first anniversary of the 2018 game, Corey Barlog posted a thread of tweets on Twitter with pictures and statements concerning the development process. And some fans noticed, so subtle here, that the first letter of each tweet spelled out Ragnarok is coming. So they have like a really good PR team, obviously, a marketing team. So they're dropping not so subtle hints.
That had to be like a pretty long tweet thread.
Exactly.
If you had that many tweets.
Yeah. So it wasn't until September 2020 at the PlayStation 5 showcase that they officially announced the game for 2021. So until then, they were just teasing it. Like, you knew it was coming, but it just wasn't official, you know, until September 2020. And then fans could, like, really get hype about it. 'Cause they're like, okay, they've announced it. Then that means there's an end in sight. They probably have, like, a release date and stuff planned.
Yeah, so for the development team, was there, like, a break between the two games? Or was it, like, just almost one continuous process?
I'm not really sure, but I'm not sure if there was a planned break. But obviously, since this happened over the course of the pandemic, you know, they were creating the game before the pandemic, and then they were creating it during the pandemic and after. So there definitely was a break. Whether it was planned or not, I don't know.
Yeah, gotcha.
But originally, the game was only announced for PlayStation 5. It was not announced for PlayStation 4. However, after Sony revealed their plans to support PlayStation 4 until at least 2022, you know, people began to speculate that it probably would be a cross-gen release. That and the fact that Sony was doing the same thing to some of the other new games like Horizon Forbidden West, they released that on cross-gen. So people were like, you know, thinking it's probably going to be on PlayStation 4 and PlayStation 5, even though they hadn't announced it yet.
Yeah, but Sony probably doesn't want you to know that because they want you to buy the PS5, right?
Exactly. It turns out, obviously, that is what happened. It was released on PlayStation 4 and 5, which makes this God of War the first one to be released cross-gen.
That's cool.
Yeah, so that's pretty cool. Bonus fun fact in the history. But anyways, back to the actual development of the game, because that was kind of all about when they announced stuff and the title and all that. You know, it's 2021, crickets. Like, no one's heard anything about the game. People are like, hello, did you forget? You announced it was going to come out, but we haven't heard anything else. Like, what's going on? So this prompted Barlog to tweet. He loves to tweet, okay? That the game would be out, in air quotes, when it's done. And shortly after that, PlayStation Studios announced the delay and that the game would come out in 2022 instead of 2021. Bummer.
Yeah, so it's done when it's done, you know.
Yeah, it's done when it's ready. Because, like...
I get it. It's
yeah, there's several factors why it got delayed. First, obviously, pandemic, which mostly slowed down their ability to do performance capture and that kind of thing. So they had limited access to their actors. There could only be so many people on set. Actually, some of the main talent actors had to double and play like stand-ins for some of the background characters just because that cut down on the amount of actors that they had to have in one place to do a scene. So that was one of the main things, because clearly you can like do a lot of the stuff for video games remotely, but that was one of the main things.
Yeah, I guess not every voice actor has like home studios where they can record themselves. And even then, they probably want to do it in their specific studio for...
Well, that and for this game, like, I don't know if you've noticed, but a lot of the characters look like the actors. So...
Oh, they're doing motion capture,
too. Yeah, they're not just using their voice. They're doing motion capture and all this stuff. So...
Oh, yeah.
It's really probably better if they're there in the studio that's, like, built out to do all that stuff. Yeah. It's really expensive.
So you can do it together.
Yeah.
That makes a lot of sense.
Another thing was Christopher Judge, who plays Kratos, he had to get surgery in August 2019, and they wanted to give him time to fully recover and all that, so that halted some of the stuff they could do. And then one other thing, which just is kind of funny, which you might could predict if you thought about it, but because of all these delays... The actor for Atreus, his name is Sonny Soljic. He obviously started going through puberty and his voice was changed, and it changed a lot when they finally came back. So they had to go in and try to even out the performance so it sounded like that change took place over a short amount of time.
That's pretty funny.
Which I thought that was kind of like, I guess it's something you think about when it happens, but like they probably didn't think about that with all the other stuff going on. So in September 2021 at the PlayStation Showcase, they finally revealed that the game would be called God of War Ragnarok and that Eric Williams would be the game's director. Eric had worked on the 2018 God of War, but he wasn't the director. So this continued the tradition of them having a different director for each game.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't know that.
Which I didn't know that. So each God of War game has had a different director.
Oh, that's cool. I mean, these two games kind of flow so well into each other. I wouldn't have guessed. I would have thought it was the same guy or the same person.
Yeah, me either. Bonus fun fact is Christopher Judge actually quit for a little while when he found out Eric Williams was going to be the director until Corey convinced him that he was gonna do a good job. He didn't know. He was like, what, they're changing? But obviously that was just, he quit for a short amount of time. They got him back.
Who's his new guy?
Yeah,
he probably sucks.
So the same time that they announced all this stuff, they also dropped the bomb that God of War Ragnarok would conclude the Norse era of the series. They originally thought about making it a trilogy, but later decided two games totally wrapped up the story. And it had taken them 5 years each for these two games. And they did not want to wait another 5 years to, like, conclude everything. Yeah, yeah. So I'm thankful for that.
It's a 15-year span.
Yeah, they had even, like, I guess in the writer's room and stuff, they compared it to like the Lord of the Rings trilogy and all this stuff. And like they were they really were talking about it being a trilogy. But luckily for us, it's just a duo, I guess.
Yeah. I'll talk about this later, but I'm actually pretty grateful that they just did two games instead of trying to stretch into three, because I don't know if it would have been as good if it were stretched into three games.
Yeah, I feel like a lot of times you can just tell when they're stretching stuff out for money. And it's different when there's actually like meat to the story and you have enough story to cover three movies or three books, whatever. I don't know. It's obvious when you're trying to spread stuff out too thin, is what I'm trying to say.
Yep, I agree.
So, like I said, overall, it took 5 years to make God of War Ragnarok, and like you said earlier, it was released worldwide on PlayStation 4 and 5, November 9th, 2022.
Nice.
Obviously, released with very good reviews, very high sales, and all that good stuff. So, are you ready for some fun facts?
Yeah, let's do the facts.
Or should I say, fun facts? My Scottish accent? Scottish. Mamir, would you like to say fun facts?
Oh, I got some fun facts for you.
Thanks, Mamir. So, fun fact number one, and tell me if you noticed this or paid any attention whatsoever to the Kavsir poems.
To the poems?
Yeah. You know how that's one of the loot things you can collect?
Yeah.
And you pick it up, and he usually looks at the cover, and then he puts it, you know, in his bag or whatever.
Yeah, it's just the random object you're collecting in this game.
Yeah. So there's a whole bunch of them. There's 14 of these poems that you find throughout the game. And did you notice anything about the covers? Did you go read the poems?
I did none of that, no.
Eric. So if you would have read the poems or even looked at the covers, you probably would have been like, this is kind of reminding me of some other Sony games. So the fun fact here is each poem is a coded reference to a Sony published game title. I'm kind of sad you didn't go in and look at these now. And the poems themselves hint further at the wordplay of the title, which consists of simple synonyms for each word of the source title. So let me give you a few titles.
I was about to say, I'm going to need some examples.
Okay, I'm going to give you a few titles, and I want you to see if you can guess the game that they're talking about.
Oh, so cool,
I think
yeah.
This is the easiest one. Tool and Bang.
Ratchet and Clank?
Yeah, good job.
Tool and Bang, yeah.
Yeah, Tool and Bang. I thought that one was awesome. Upon pursuing a place not marked on the map.
Uncharted.
Yeah, good job.
2 for 2.
2 for 2. A Sunrise of Nothingness. I played it not that long ago.
Sunrise of Nothingness. Is it Horizon Zero Dawn?
Yeah. I gave you a little bit of a hint for that.
Yeah, that's true.
But some of the other ones are large, but the L and the A are capitalized, okay? Large Society Ground Orb, comma, the performance, which is MLB, the show. And so, like, the L and the A is like the LA, you know?
That's funny.
We Who Remain, comma, part the second. The Last of Us, part 2. There's one, the title is Trip. And the game is Journey. Have you ever heard of that game?
Yeah, I've heard of it. I've never played it, and vaguely, vaguely heard
it. So the other ones real quick, The Dead Do Not Ride, that's Days Gone. Sanguinity, that's Bloodborne. I've never heard of that word, Sanguinity. Eastern Spectre, Ghost of Tsushima, Celestial Construct, Astrobot, Spirits Within Walls, Concrete Genie, Visions After Rest, Dreams, Afterlife Abandonment, Death Stranding.
Death Stranding.
Yeah, so I just thought that was super fun. Like, and again, if you look at the covers, there's like little pictures and stuff there that kind of go along with the poems.
Okay. Yeah, that's a neat idea. So they took all their games and made them poems.
Yeah, so that's something you can go in and check out if you already played. Go check out those poems.
It's a cool Easter egg.
Yeah. Fun fact number 2. After you return back to Sindri's house following the quest for Tyr, you'll meet the guardian and tender of the World Tree, who is a large talking squirrel named Ratatoskr.
Yeah, I like the squirrel.
He's fun. He can send parts of his personality and emotions out into the world while he himself remains in the realm between realms, all safe and sound.
Yeah, and they're mostly the personality traits he doesn't really like that much.
Yeah, that's great. But one of the fun things about this is, okay, so, you know, he tells you about the chime, and if you throw your axe at the chime, it summons him, and he'll come and, you know, do whatever it is you need him to do. However, if you keep tossing your axe at the chimes once he's already summoned, He steadily grows more and more impatient with your antics before finally having an emotional outburst.
Okay, so yeah.
So did annoyed. You ever try to annoy him with your no. chime ringing?
Ain't nobody got time for that.
Well, next time you play, you have to do that. Like, just make him mad.
It'd be cool if you could fight him.
He's like the final boss. Super powerful squirrel guy.
That'd be fun.
All right, so fun fact number 3. This is the first game in the God of War series in which the playable story character is not only Kratos, because you get to play as Atreus as well.
So this is the first God of War game that you could do that?
This is the first one.
Wow.
Yeah, which I really enjoyed being able to play as both.
Yeah, I mean, they did a really good job with switching up the characters and character combinations.
But yeah. We'll probably talk more about that later.
Yeah, I think so.
On my pros list. And finally, the last fun fact number 4. So obviously Kratos is not a small guy by any, you know, span of the imagination, especially compared to your standard human. I think Kratos is supposed to be about 6'4". But when you see him in the game and he's standing toe to toe with Thor, he looks kind of puny, right? Because Thor is huge in this game. No, Thor's huge in general.
Yeah, or Tyr, you know.
Yeah, or Tyr, yeah.
Tyr is huge.
But I found an article where someone did the math and they figured out how tall Thor is or would be in real life. Do you want to take any guesses?
7'2".
Very close. 7'4". So it's like,
wow.
If you break it down or whatever. And you know, Kratos is 6'4". Yeah. They made Thor like a whole foot taller than Kratos.
Jeez.
So I don't think they ever show Tyr and Thor next to each other, but Tyr's probably
7'5"
or something.
I mean, Kratos is looking up a Tyr too. I forget which one is actually taller.
But yeah, they're both really big, but I just thought it was great that someone actually did the math, took the time to figure out that Thor in real life would be 7'4".
Oh, yeah. Cool.
So, Eric, do you want to talk about the story a little bit before we go into the pros and the cons?
I do. I have some stuff written out. There is a lot of story in this
game.
Yeah,
there's a lot of story.
It's a lot.
So we won't cover all the little things, but we can give a general overview.
Yeah, so where I wanted to start was, there was a bit of a misdirection, I feel like, from the marketing that made it out like Freya was going to be the main antagonist of the game.
Yeah.
I definitely saw some, like, cover art or something early on, which, made it seem like she was going to be the main.
And they kind of do that at the beginning of the game, too. Like,
oh, yeah.
You know, they kind of set that up a little bit.
And even though it's kind of true in the beginning, like you said, they do kind of, like, settle their beef pretty early on.
Yeah. Which I'm kind of cool with, because I didn't want them to remain enemies.
Yeah. And so, yeah, it's very clear that Odin is the main baddie.
Mm-hmm.
So he and Thor show up pretty early in the game and ask Kratos and Atreus to stop searching for Tyr, who is prophesied to lead the attack against Asgard as part of Ragnarok.
Mm-hmm.
So Atreus, like, really wants to find Tyr. He thinks he'll be cool.
Because he's a stupid teenager.
Yeah. Kratos doesn't really, like, he's not.
He's got trust issues.
Yeah, he's got trust issues. He's not.
Especially with gods.
Yeah.
Other gods. And it kind of starts out, like, in the God of War 2018. You know, you have that big fight right at the beginning.
Yeah.
And it kind of repeats that in this one, too, because you start out with one big fight that doesn't really matter for anything. It's just a fight. A fun fight.
Yeah. So, of course, Kratos tells them to fuck off. Like, he does so gingerly.
Like, I do what I want.
Kratos and Thor fight to a stalemate, and then Odin tells Atreus if he joins him in Asgard, he'll leave Kratos alone.
Yeah. So shady. Shady, shady Odin.
And then pretty soon after that, Kratos, you know, agrees to go find Tyr with Atreus.
Yeah.
Because, you know, he doesn't like being told what to do.
Exactly. But he does want to be a good dad and do stuff with Atreus. You can see that he's got that struggle of, like, doing what he wants and doing what Atreus wants.
Yeah, so they go and rescue Tyr, who, much to Atreus' disappointment, is now a pacifist.
Yeah, super pacifist.
Pretty hard to lead an army when you're a pacifist.
Yeah.
And then against Kratos' wishes, Atreus goes to Asgard to find out what Odin wants. And Odin basically wants him to find all the pieces of a mask that he can use to look through, like, a tear in space-time that apparently has all the answers in the universe, was my understanding of what it was.
Yeah, and of course in this game, Atreus is your typical teenager and thinks he knows everything and is going around sneaking out, being rebellious.
Yeah, disobeys his dad, goes to Asgard to hang out with Odin.
Odin is, like, all, you know, manipulative, makes him feel like he's at home and that he really cares about Atreus. And
Atreus makes a whole bunch of brand new friends in Asgard.
That's true. You get to meet Thrud, Thor's daughter. She's pretty cool.
Yeah.
And that one boy, I don't remember his name. That blonde boy that he meets right when he gets to Asgard. Yeah. He's like, just a normal citizen. Human. Yeah.
He's a pretty minor character, but yeah.
But it's a friend, okay?
That's true, yeah. Atreus is kind of going back and forth a little bit between Asgard, and Kratos is kind of gathering a group together at, like, Brock and Sindri's house in the center of the Nine Realms, who all kind of, like, have a beef against Odin. So you got Tyr, Freya, Freya's brother Freyr, and a whole bunch of Freyr's friends.
Yeah. Freyr's got a whole army himself, basically.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then you also have Sindri, you have Brock there because it's their house. But, you know, they're kind of a part of your crew, too.
Yeah, and they can make all those magical items and stuff that are so handy.
Exactly.
And then I'm just going to skip.
Yeah, so it's a big adventure. A lot of adventurous things happen.
So Atreus finally completes his mask, but then escapes to Sindri's house before Odin can get it. But then in a shocking...
You mean before...
Oh.
Somebody could stop him. Okay, sorry. I had to make a mask joke.
Sorry.
I had to fit it in there.
I made a mistake for a second. Okay, so in a shocking twist, you find out Tyr has actually been Odin the entire time.
What?
And Odin kills Brock to steal back the mask, but ends up stealing a decoy mask instead.
It's so sad.
Yeah, so.
Did you cry?
I
cried a little.
It was very sad.
Because Brock and Sindri are, like, two of my favorite side characters.
And then
you know?
Sindri was just so torn up about it, and he just never got over it at any point.
Not yet. Hopefully. Maybe next game. Yeah, so you find out Tyr was really Odin the whole time. So he really wasn't Tyr.
That really was a good twist, I thought.
It was. I did not see that coming.
Yeah.
And then shit goes down, right?
Yeah, so this basically starts the war between the two groups. The united forces of the realms gather under Kratos' leadership. He finally decides that he will lead, like, the whole group.
Yeah, he'll be the general.
And he sounds Gjallarhorn to begin the siege of Asgard. So Kratos manages to convince Thor to stop fighting, but then Thor is killed by Odin.
Yeah, so sad.
And another kind of minor twist, I guess.
Yeah.
not really a twist. Everyone is aware that Odin is pretty evil at that point.
Yeah. And if you've played any God of War games, you know pretty much all the gods die except for Kratos.
So yeah, Kratos and Atreus defeat Odin, with the battle culminating when Atreus breaks the mask and throws it into the space-time tear.
Yeah.
So basically, instead of killing his dad, he breaks up the mask, like,
yeah,
throws it into the space-time.
It's great.
That somehow closes the space-time tear, too.
Don't question it too much.
Yeah, after they defeat him, Atreus puts Odin's soul into a marble. Is that what they are, marbles?
Yeah.
I think that there's a better term for those. And Kratos hands it over to Freya to destroy, to which she decides not to. But then soon after that, Sindri shows up and just smashes it with a hammer.
With his anger. He's very angry.
Yeah, he's very angry.
And sad. And yeah. Sindri is not in a good place right now, you guys.
Yeah. And that's pretty much the game.
Yeah. And so, like, the overall moral of the story that they're trying to, you know, portray is that you make your own choices. You make your own fate. No matter how many times you see it read a certain way, you still have free will and you don't have to do it just because it's in the stars or whatever.
Yeah, it turns out the prophecy was totally wrong.
Yeah, totally.
And it was a happy ending after all.
Yeah, happily ever after.
Mostly.
And Atreus kind of meets a girlfriend.
Oh, yeah.
Another giant.
Yeah, that's how crazy. That's how crazy.
Crushy crush on.
That's how crazy the story it had and how much story there is. There are a bunch of characters I did not even mention that are in this game.
Oh, yeah.
That are actually pretty major characters, like Atreus's girlfriend.
Angerboda.
Yeah, Angerboda.
Yeah.
I think that's how you pronounce it.
Yeah, it's kind of a cool name. I don't really like her, though. She brings a positive spirit, you know, to the game, like with her attitude and stuff.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, and then at the end, Atreus and... He's like, Dad, I gotta go find myself. I gotta go on my own. And you see him leave.
He's off to college.
Kratos. And now Kratos is an empty nester. He rides off into the sunset with Freya and Mimir. So do you want to go ahead and get into the pros?
Yeah,
because I have, you know, like 5,000 of them.
Yeah. Gotta start.
Yeah, go for it.
So I just want to say the previous 2018 God of War game was brilliant, and somehow Ragnarok managed to improve upon it.
Yeah, it took like all the best things, which was everything pretty much from that game, and did a really good job of building on it and making it different, but the same.
Yeah, and the main thing is I'm going to try not to just repeat a lot of the positives I said in that first game.
Oh, really?
Because, you know, it's a lot of what was good about the last game is also good about this game.
That's true. But I didn't even look at my pros for the other game before I did this. So I'm just going with all the pros. And if you heard them last time, too bad. You're going to hear them again. I love the story. Obviously, that builds on the last game. But it just is such a good balance of good, bad, happy, sad, drama. Like, it's just everything a good story needs.
Yeah, I agree.
Has so entertaining,
and it kind of deviates a little bit from how it's telling its story too, because mm-hmm. you are branching off with different characters,
yeah,
and different character combinations that you didn't get at all in
yeah
the last
like
game.
There's parts where obviously you're Kratos and Atreus fighting and doing going through the story, but then you also have Atreus and Thrud, you have Kratos and Freya.
Or you Kratos and Brock at one point, even.
Kratos and Brock. You have Atreus and Sindri at one point.
Yeah.
You have Atreus and Angerboda. There's just so many different combinations. You're not just playing one character the whole time. You're switching through and you're getting like a lot of different perspectives. Even if you're not playing as that character, you're still getting to see more and learn more about those side characters like Brock and Sindri and stuff too.
Yeah, and there's some games where you do that, where you go on to like a side mission and it kind of, you feel like it's almost kind of taken away from the gameplay mm-hmm. a little bit.
Yeah.
But I feel like in this one it's good because you either are going to have Kratos or Atreus
mm-hmm.
as one of those characters, and both of those characters are kind of leveling up and yeah. stuff and gathering resources. And I guess they have a magic chest somewhere where they share all those resources that they collect, so...
Yeah, I just like that it focuses on the whole ensemble, and it's just a big story that just all comes together in the best ways.
Yeah.
Another thing I really love is the new weapon you get. You get a really freaking cool spear from a really freaking cool mermaid siren. But
did you look at my pros ahead of time? Because this is literally the order and the same pros I have.
I mean, I don't know. I love the spear. It has like a really good range attack, which, I mean, the axe does, but it's quicker than the axe and you don't have to recall it. You just get like infinite amount of spears, basically.
Yeah, it's really neat. It's a good additional weapon to learn how to use. And it also gives you another like puzzle solving element.
Yeah.
So yeah.
For the like noir chests and stuff.
Yeah. So that's also another fun thing about it.
I'm sure they had to go through a lot of different ideas about what that third weapon was going to be, because it had to be different enough from the blades and the axe so you still want to use it.
Yeah, I know.
You know, because there's only so many weapons out there.
Because both the axe and the blades are so much fun to use.
Yeah.
I think I usually prefer the axe, and I talked to one of my friends, Michael, who prefers the blades.
Oh, yeah?
Do you have a preference?
I like the spear.
Oh, really?
I mean, once I got the spear, yeah.
Huh.
But I'm big on switching through the weapons
yeah, me too, yeah.
quite a bit. And that will come into the strategy later because, like, you know, the blades obviously are fire and the axe is, like, ice. So, you know, that kind of stuff comes into play also.
Yeah, and it really rewards you for swapping between those weapons. But yeah, we'll get into that later. So yeah, this game has another amazing soundtrack.
Oh yeah.
Manages just to hit like the right moments in the story where it's like there's this like really dramatic part and you hear this music and you're like, yeah, that's so good.
Oh, and I mean, just in general, I have the music on here too. The composer's name is Bear McCreary. He's actually the same composer for the 2018 game, so like they didn't switch that up. But yeah, it's just such beautiful, cool music. And yeah, like you said, it plays into the mood. Also, like when you're fighting a battle, you know, there's specific music while all the enemies are still alive. And then like once you've killed everyone in that battle, the music changes. So you get kind of like an auditory cue that like you killed everyone. Because sometimes you can't always see all those little suckers. They'll be like up on a ledge or something. But if you still hear the dramatic music, you're like, okay, they're somewhere. Like, I gotta find it.
Yeah, it makes a nice transition. Yeah, it's the subtle stuff that really adds up to make this game so good.
Yeah. Another thing I like, and this is the same as the other one, but there's just a lot of side quests. There's a lot of loot that you can find. So it's like once you're done with the game, the core game, you can still go out and there's plenty of stuff to keep you busy and keep you entertained, like, besides just doing the main story.
Yeah, and the game really strikes the perfect balance between all those different aspects.
Mm-hmm.
Fighting, exploration, puzzle solving, story, character customization, RPG elements, like all that stuff. Like,
and they give you a checklist, so that's always good.
Yeah, they give you,
you can see in what area, like what you haven't gotten yet and stuff, so
that's nice.
Always helpful.
Yeah, definitely.
Like, speaking of, this game is just, it was like, I think I paid $70 for it because I pre-ordered, so I got a little extra things. But like, I have gotten over 100 hours out of this. Like, the first time I played through, I 100%ed it. Whoop, whoop. The first and only game I've 100%ed so far. It took me about 80 hours to do all that. And then I just played through it again on the new game plus, and I still put like 50 hours into that, and that was like skipping all the cinematic stuff. So
yeah, it's a lot of fun, and it's a game you can go back and replay and stuff, and
it's worth the money for sure.
Definitely worth it. Yeah, I would say I think I put about 60 hours into it. Nice. Just beating the main story.
We definitely got our money worth out of
it. Yeah, so with all the microtransactions out there, I have to list this. There are no microtransactions, which is a huge positive.
Yeah.
Everything is simply unlocked by playing the game, and I really appreciate that they didn't dilute their product by going for the easy cash grab.
Yeah, thanks, Sony.
Especially after you start to see them like pop up in other big studio games.
Mm-hmm.
Like I think of like the recent Resident Evil 4, where their initial release didn't have microtransactions, you know, for all their reviews and stuff, and then they added it after.
Yeah, it's just so shady.
Yeah, just like, okay, that seems pretty scummy.
I'd much rather just pay up front and not pay $1 at a time, like,
yeah,
because I'm not going to. That's just the facts. If there's a microtransaction, I just won't buy it.
Yeah, I mean, if you have a brilliant game, you can charge $70 for it.
Exactly.
Like, it can be worth it.
So I think it's definitely worth the money. Another cool thing is that they just added this with the new game plus. But they gave Kratos different appearances for his armor, so you can be like all fashionable if you want. Like, there's a black fur one, there's like a purple one that kind of is like neon, like just all kinds of really cool looking appearances. And so like, if you want to be fashionable Kratos, or if you want to, like, if you're in the Winterlands, have more of like a winter look, you can do that. It's so fun.
Yeah, and these don't actually affect your stats.
No, they do nothing. They're just for looks.
So you can just choose like what kind of armor he's wearing.
You just make Kratos pretty. I think it's fun.
Yeah,
I love that they added that.
Yeah, that's a nice touch. I think that is with the new game plus feature.
Yeah, because I definitely don't remember having that for the first game play through. Do you have any other pros you want to mention?
That's it. Like I said, you could take all my previous pros from the previous game and add those in here too.
Yeah, that's true.
And there's a lot. I mean, I don't want to have to repeat myself again for all those, but
I have one more, and that's, I really like that you I mean, I guess you could do this in the last one too, but I want to mention it here because there's just a lot of different ways you can build out your character, and you can change your stats up a pretty good bit with different armors and different things, like, you know, handles and things on your weapons and different relics and things like that, which I appreciate because, you know, there are different enemies that are like more poisonous, more frosty, more, you know, different things, and like different build character builds can really help you like in those certain fights.
Yeah, I remember I was struggling with an enemy that was doing a lot of bifrost damage, so I went through my inventory and like looked for items help with that. And that does help if you're struggling with a fight. It's helpful to like think about what the enemy is doing, and you know, maybe you have something in your equipment that can counter that,
especially for those berserker fights.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
That's pretty much like this game's version of the Valkyrie fights, if you played those. So they're just like extra hard, super challenging.
And they even threw in an extra Valkyrie fight just for fun. At the very end.
The queen. And, oh, my God, it's so hard. Do you have any cons, Eric?
Just a couple.
I don't have any, so this is all you. Like, I was trying to think of some cons, and I'm like, if I wanted to get real nitpicky, just I could come up with some stuff that could be better, but I can't think of anything that I just hate or don't like about this game, really.
Okay, well, let me get nitpicky for you because these are 100% nitpicky.
Oh, boo.
That's fine. It's okay to have some nitpicky cons. I think we talked about this later, but I still just want to talk about it because it was kind of an annoying thing that happened.
Okay.
And I know that you can turn this off, but the camera will just sometimes lock in the middle of combat.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you didn't know that until I told you.
To a particular enemy. I guess it's less of a con now that I can know that I can turn that function off. But I don't know. I feel like it shouldn't be even on to begin with.
Yeah, this shouldn't be the default. You should go in if you need help.
Especially in those really tough fights where you have like...
multiple things you have to shoot.
Yeah, and I just remember I'd get so frustrated because the camera would just suddenly lock, because it doesn't do that most of the time. Most of the time it doesn't lock onto like just one person. I mean, you'll track a person, but you can still kind of freely move it. But on occasion you'll do something or they'll do something which causes the camera not to move. And then like there was this one berserker fight where the berserker had like a couple mages casting, and once he did like so much damage, the berserker or one of the mages would cast a spell, and it would be like, oh, it almost always come from like behind you or the side or
and
something.
And you couldn't turn.
And there were situations where the camera would get locked on the berserker, and you couldn't turn the camera to like deal with the oncoming projectile. Just really frustrating.
Yeah, but there's actually a lot of different options in the settings, so if you're having trouble with something like that in the game, I definitely would recommend going into the options and just seeing if that's something you can change.
Now that I know that, I probably would have done that.
Yeah, I wish I could have told you sooner. Sorry.
And my only other con is sometimes the characters want to talk to you while you're fast traveling, and the game will wait until the conversation is over before like the door to the next area opens. Just like, I don't want to do this conversation. Can I just delay it? Like, no, they have to finish talking.
Yeah. And then you're stuck in that tree.
Yeah. It doesn't feel that bad until like you realize how much faster it loads when no one has anything to say.
True.
Like it's almost instant. Like when no one has any like conversation to add, but like when you're sitting there, like, listening.
So you want a shut up button basically.
Yeah. Or just like continue this later. And they'll do that like when you're in the raft and stuff. Like if you get out of the raft.
Or if you enter a fight. Yeah. Or if you enter into a fight or something.
Yeah. They'll just kind of like, oh, we'll talk about this later.
Yeah.
I don't understand why they don't do it when they fast travel. Okay. That's it. That was my only con.
All right. I'll let you have it. It's still not that annoying though.
Yeah. And it's honestly
it doesn't ruin the game or make it bad or
you know,
anything.
It's an extra 15, 20 seconds every now and then. It's not,
wow. So much life wasted.
So much of my life they wasted. I want back.
So Eric, you want to get into that strategy?
Yeah. So what's something you got, Nikki?
So I mentioned this earlier, but switch between the weapons, use your ultimate moves because they reset after the cooldown, which is usually, you know, like a couple minutes. So I feel like the faster you use it, the faster you can use it again.
Oh yeah. Yeah. No, I mean that's good advice.
Yeah. And don't forget about your relic move. If you do, I think it's left bumper circle or square. You have like a relic move, which is like a special, like extra bonus ultimate thing.
Yeah, you have so many moves in this game. Yeah, you can kind of forget about them sometimes, but yeah, I would constantly forget about that relic move.
You didn't even know about it until I told you, I don't think. Which I only discovered it like later on in the game. I think I was like looking at my menu and I was like, what?
Yeah.
This is helpful.
And that and the timing of those special moves too can matter because, you know, you can still take damage while you're doing it.
Yeah.
So unless it has like a stun early on, you do have to kind of time those, especially with some of the harder fights.
Oh, yeah.
Where like a berserker will just like wail on you while you're like winding up this attack.
Yeah. Some of those berserkers, if they hit you one time, your health is pretty much gone in like one hit. So...
Yeah, it's nuts how much damage they do.
Not a lot of leeway.
Yeah. For me, I was going to say the colored circles that appear when enemies are attacking will give you an indication of what kind of attack is coming.
Yeah.
But the timing of the attack, you'll have to pay attention to the enemy animation for. And really, like, I know some of the berserker attacks and stuff, you really just have to get used to it.
Mm-hmm.
You just have to play through it a bunch of times.
And each one's different, so... That's a whole learning curve each time.
Yeah, the easiest circles to deal with are the blue circles because that just requires a shield bash to break the attack. As long as you're close enough, there's almost never a problem with that.
Yeah.
Red circles indicate an unblockable attack that will likely need to be dodged.
Yep.
On rare occasion, the enemy is actually just doing a wind-up for a bigger attack that will cover the entire area that can't be dodged. So that's one of the curveballs they like to throw.
That you have to throw your spear at or axe at to stop, like, in the middle of sometimes. Yeah.
And then there's the yellow circles, and those are the ones that you can parry and in most cases dodge, but not in some cases. Or...
Yeah. And that parry means pretty much you take the damage on your shield and you, like, sling it back at them, right?
Well, it's a specific time block.
Yeah.
So you have to hit the block button just... like
but
right.
Basically it like hits the shield and then like you throw it back. That's what that is, right?
It usually stuns them, except in some of the later fights it doesn't always stun.
Yeah.
Because yeah.
Another thing is dodge. Because like, man, yeah, you have like the roll dodge thing and you just have to use it. Like you said, those red circles, you can't really do much about those. You can't block them or nothing. So you just gotta dodge.
Yeah. One of the nice features of this game is that there's an adjustable difficulty setting.
Mm-hmm.
So if I feel like if you're getting stuck or too frustrated with a battle, you can always just tone down the difficulty a little bit.
That's true.
And you can always turn it back up later. So like, I don't think there should be any shame in doing that.
No. Not if you've already did the same battle like 20 times. Yeah. And you're like, it's either this or quit the game. It's like, just do the easy thing. And so like, it's much better to finish the game.
Yeah, I mean, as long as you're having fun, right?
Exactly.
No one's going to go, like, it's not like a contest to see who the best God of War player
is. Exactly. And then you always have room to move up. I mean, you can always get better and not you have to, you know, move stuff down. But when I was fighting that last Valkyrie fight, I had to go all the way down. Because, I mean, I started at, like, give me balance. You know, I tried my hardest and I was like, I'll go down one. And I was like, tried another 20, 30 times, still wasn't getting much further. I was like, I'm going to have to go all the way down. And it was still hard.
Yeah, I still haven't beaten that fight. I tried it a few times. I'm just like, holy crap, that
she
fight
is
nuts.
Badass. Another thing is, like, if you're a loot person like me and I like to collect all the loot, thoroughly look around your surroundings, like, look in all the nooks and crannies and little caves and just... What I'll do is I'll just literally do a perimeter check and I'll just go around all the walls because like that's where most of the stuff is near the walls because I was trying to, you know, get all the poems and all the little extra things.
You know how I like to do it?
How?
So most of the game you're like going through areas with a companion and stuff.
Uh-huh.
The companion will like to run ahead and the direction you're supposed to go for the story.
Uh-huh.
So whatever direction that companion is running.
You just go the other way.
Yeah, go the other way. Look around.
And it's like some of the areas, there's just a lot of different paths and stuff. So it's like, you just kind of got to explore and look at everything. Or else you might miss like a chest or something like that.
My last one is just that some of the puzzles are you know, not solvable until you hit certain points in the game. Mm-hmm. Also, some puzzle elements like finding the three runes to the chest might require you to go through another area and loop back into it in order to find all the runes. So,
and some of the areas you have to have the spear to enter.
Yeah, so don't like frustrate yourself just on any one particular puzzle too bad.
Yeah, you can always come back to everything after you finish the story, and then by that time, almost everything should be unlocked.
Yeah, and then you can really just like tear your head hair out trying to figure it out.
I have a couple more. Another one is like if you're doing the noir chess, which is the puzzle chess. The ruins that you need to hit usually aren't that far away from the chest. So if you find yourself going too far into like another area looking for, you know, that last rune that you need to hit, you've probably gone too far. So it's like just stick with like a perimeter around the chest because those runes just aren't normally that far away.
Yeah, it's so usually, it's mostly just different changes in perspective.
Another thing is always look around for sandstone or red leaf vines, because sometimes they'll have random barrels with sandstone on it or something like that, and you can have Atreus or Freya shoot those, and you know there's extra loot and stuff like that in those things. Hidden chests, stuff like that. And my last thing is just use your checklist, because that thing comes in handy. And if you really are trying to get everything, trying to 100% everything, that's the only way you're going to be able to keep track of
it. Yeah, it was super, super handy when I was doing that challenge for the Berserker fights, because I could just go through any map and like
find them. Yeah.
Find where they were. It was really nice, actually.
Cool.
So, Nikki, did you find anything for the future? Any like new series or movies coming out?
Actually, Amazon Prime has ordered a God of War series.
What?
Corey Barlog is going to be one of the executive producers, and they actually have a showrunner who is set to be Jaffe Judkins. But other than that, they haven't gotten much further. They haven't done any casting, any filming, anything like that yet. People are saying it could be out in 2024, but obviously, you know, nothing has really been confirmed other than it's going to be on Amazon Prime.
Wow, cool. So that could be a thing. It could be something neat to look forward to.
It could be cool. I mean,
be a total terrain wreck.
The Last of Us, I think, has given a lot of people hope that, you know, it can be good. And we know with the story of God of War, it can be good.
The story is really good.
Be good?
Will they do it justice? Which
there's a lot of factors that go in, so. And I think casting is going to be really important.
Be interested in where they choose to set it. If they choose to do like more of the Greek gods or Norse gods or be interested. Yeah. What Kratos era are we talking about?
Yeah, it's a lot of different angles they could take, and they could even maybe do like one season per, you know, region of mythology, like one Norse season, one Greek season, but a lot of options there. It could be good, but we'll see. A lot of video game things don't go that well for some reason, but now that we know it can be good, there's no excuse.
So the only thing I found wasn't really super new. It was just the fact that in early April they released the new Game Plus.
Yeah.
Which was added a whole bunch of really nice stuff, extra stuff into it.
Yeah, like mostly the appearances.
like the appearances that are only available in the new Game Plus, but it's a nice edition for players who've already beaten the game but want to like just play through it for fun.
Yeah.
Want to skip some of the story or maybe just watch the story again. I mean, the story is good.
Yeah. But the first one wouldn't let you skip any of the cinematic stuff. So.
Okay.
It was nice that they did that. So, Eric, I'm very interested to know, did you beat all the Berserker fights without moving your difficulty level down?
I did. It was tough, man. Some of those fights took me forever.
And plus, aren't you playing on God mode or something?
No, it's give me a challenge. It's like,
so not give me balance, but the one
the
above
one after
that,
the one after
whatever.
Give me balance. Yeah,
gotcha.
And it was a good challenge. Some of those took me many, many times.
Did you want to throw the controller at all?
No, I felt like I learned stuff. You really do have to kind of pay attention to what's going on.
Yeah.
The one I feel like I struggled the most was the one with the casters, the two casters. Mm-hmm. It felt like anytime I'd get on a rhythm against the main berserker, I'd get hit with like a ton of spells.
Yeah.
And it took me a while to realize that once you did a set amount of damage or so many hits on the berserker, that would basically trigger a spell from the mage, one of the mages, mm-hmm. one of the two mages. So if you did like a whole bunch of damage, they would just like continuously like cast spells on you. So the way to get around like the constant barrage of spells was that actually kind of slow down your fight a little bit.
Oh.
So yeah, that ended up being pretty helpful.
So you did, I guess, probably didn't write a rap or anything, did you?
You know, I got a little bit bored.
Yeah.
I might have written one.
I think, I don't know, I had a slow week too, so I just wrote one for fun.
Yeah.
Do you want to just do it?
Yeah. Let's just do one for fun.
Cool.
Enemies, they foldin', my outlook is golden. Y'all feel emboldened, better kneel before Odin. Thor, he corroding, got Loki, he's holding my mask to the past like a flask. Given so many tasks, he can't ask or forecast that there's a snake in the grass. They're running out of gas so fast, I couldn't even sass like I'm teaching a class. To contrast with a laugh, Kratos crass, lambast to unpass with my staff like I'm breaking through glass with my calf on behalf of my ex-girl's ass. Oops, made a gaffe, now I'm gonna bask as I drink my half and half and harass the with my autographs.
If I told you once, I told you twice. Believe me, I tried to play nice. You didn't listen or take my advice. So you wanna gamble, roll the dice. I eat my wings with extra spice while watching reruns of Miami Vice. Odin's death has no price. Gotta be the one that takes his life. Rumors be rife, call it vengeance by the ex-wife.
Nice.
Yeah, I'm just glad we did a rap because you guys all know this is like my favorite game.
Yeah.
This one and the last one, man, those are like my all-time favorite games probably. So
yeah, it wouldn't have been the same if we didn't
do a little rap.
Yeah, do a little rap or whatever. And I like that you chose Freya, I chose Odin. That's
yeah.
A good combo, I think.
Yes. What is the word? Scorned lovers.
Yeah. It's a good contrast. And I bet you're excited to know what the next game is going to be.
Yeah, you never know with Eric. As long as it's not a bad game, I'll be happy. Please don't say you picked another bad game. I can't do it.
I think this is
Superman 64.
I think this is a good game, but I actually haven't played it yet.
Oh, gosh.
So we're going to find out together if
okay.
It's a good game. Yeah. Do you have any guesses?
If I have to guess, is it that new rhythm music game that came out on Steam not that long ago?
Oh, Hi-Fi Rush?
Yeah.
No.
Hi-Fi Rush? Oh,
that's
okay.
That's more of an action rhythm game.
Is it? Okay.
Less of a puzzle game. This is like a pure puzzle game.
All right. Ooh, pure puzzle. Ooh, puzzle game.
Yeah.
I love puzzle games.
And I don't think you're going to guess the name of it.
Okay.
It's called Superliminal. It's a puzzle game that plays with perspective. Like, I haven't actually played it, so I have no
okay.
idea really, but I think you
so
played.
So how'd you find out about it?
I saw some videos and it looked really neat.
Okay. Like on Twitch or YouTube?
On Reddit back in the day.
Oh, so it's kind of older?
Well, 2020.
Oh, that's not that bad.
Yeah.
Back in the day to you, it's 2020. When I say back in the day, I'm talking about like early 2000s or something. We were in school.
My understanding, this game is pretty short. It,
okay.
I think it clocks in about 3 hours to 3 or 4 hours.
Oh, that's cool. What is it on?
I have it on Steam. So,
okay.
And I'm not sure if it requires keyboard or mouse, but I also have it on the Steam Deck, so you might
okay.
be able to play with the controller.
Yeah.
But I just went with the simple beat the game.
Beat the game.
Yeah.
All right. I think I can do it.
All right.
We'll
see. Yeah. All right.
Till next time, everybody.
Bye.
Bye. always, if you love the episode, please leave us a review on Apple Music, Apple Podcasts. Leave us a comment on our YouTube channel or our website, pressanybutton.net. You can also just go listen to the raps over and over again if you want. But anyways, we'd love to connect with you. We'd love to hear what you have to say. And thank you for listening.